Born and raised in Philadelphia, the city that revolutionized the pro wrestling industry, Jeff Desiato has rekindled his passion for the sport he loved as a child. Join him on his journey to discover what makes pro wrestling such a uniquely enjoyable form of entertainment. This is the Why We Enjoy Wrestling podcast.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Why We Enjoy Wrestling podcast. It's been a while. I took a vacation with my family, so I took a week off. And candidly, I kind of started this podcast on a whim, didn't have a large plan. I just needed to talk about wrestling, and I don't really have any friends that are into wrestling. So it was kind of my sounding board, as it were, as you will. And so I didn't have it built into my schedule. All the things that you're supposed to do before you launch a podcast, I didn't do them, even though I've launched several podcasts, but I wanted to get it out before WrestleMania, and now I've been just behind ever since. So I'm putting this out hopefully in advance of Clash at the Castle. I'm not going to really take a lot of time recapping. There's been a lot of events in Raw and SmackDown. I've missed covering two, and as I'm recording this, the go-home SmackDown before Clash at the Castle has just finished. I didn't get to watch it. So basically, I just wanted to put out an episode before Clash at the Castle so you guys understand that I'm here for it. I know one of the things they say is you're going to run out of steam if you can make it. Most podcasts stop by 10 episodes, and I don't want to be that statistic. I want to keep going. So Clash at the Castle, we're looking at a great card, honestly. Now, I didn't see all of the events that led up to tonight's SmackDown. I'm sorry, that came as the result of tonight's SmackDown. So I'm going to be talking about my thoughts on the card overall based on what I've already witnessed. So we have the women's tag titles in a triple threat. Bianca Belair, Jade Cargill, Alba Fire, Isla Dawn, and Shayna Baszler and Zoe Stark. This is one thing I really love about the Triple H regime is that he's giving people from around the world an opportunity to perform in front of their home crowd. You got Sami Zayn in Montreal. Drew McIntyre was, you know, it's Wales before, but now in his actual home country of Scotland. You also have Piper Niven featured. You have Alba Fire, Isla Dawn featured. We're going to have Gunther, I would imagine, in the main event of Bash of Berlin. So I just really love this. And oh, I'm forgetting the big one, which was Backlash in Puerto Rico. You had an incredible event there where you had Zelina Vega and Damian Priest in the main event. You had Elimination Chamber, Perth, Australia, where you had Rhea Ripley. And I don't know if Bronson Reed was on. He wasn't on that show. I think his wife was having a baby around that time, if I recall. You can correct me later. But I just really love this. Like, the way they're using the quote-unquote BPLEs, PPVs, whatever we call them now, the ones that people are always like, oh, it's not, it doesn't mean anything. It means something because you want to experience watching this. Now, do we think the titles are going to change hands? Maybe, maybe not. But you want to experience it because of watching what these Scottish people are going to experience. That's what makes this great. That's what made Backlash in Lyon, France so special was the crowd. And I feel like it's a very smart strategy. WWE is beloved around the world, so why not take it to the people that are going to be happy with anything? I mean, I don't mean that derogatorily. What I'm saying is it doesn't have to be one of the big four, but you have all these pay-per-views, you can share the wealth, and then it makes those pay-per-views, PLEs, more special. It makes them feel like an event that you cannot miss. And I think that's a really smart strategy. Not to mention they're probably making a boatload of money. So I don't think there would be any shock. I think that Bianca and Jade will retain. What I would be interested to see is if Shayna and Zoe take the pin to kind of protect Alba Fire, Isla Dawn. They haven't really done anything to build this team up. They came in with vignettes a while back. Then they disappeared for a while. Now they're just being heated up for this event, it seems. So not an ideal situation for them. I don't see this match being all that interesting. I do feel like Zoe and Shayna could be a really great tag team and maybe even the ones to eventually beat Bianca and Jade. So it'd be interesting. Maybe Alba Fire, Isla Dawn take the pin here to prolong. Maybe Zoe and Shayna go off to the side with Sonya Deville, revamp, start to build them up as the ones to ultimately beat Bianca and Jade, which would then split them up for their feud, which will be inevitable, I imagine. So we have Sami Zayn and Chad Gable. This is probably one of the best stories. Aside from the Liv Morgan, Dom, and all that stuff, this Chad Gable, Alpha Academy, Sami Zayn story has been great. And I really kind of want to see Chad Gable win. What I can foresee happening, as we've seen, Chad Gable's been talking to the Creed brothers multiple times now. He's gotten Otis to still go along with his plan, even though he was tortured into doing it. What I can see is they set up the end of the match to have Otis interfere, and he walks away from Chad Gable. But Chad Gable, being the master strategist that he is, Master Gable, he has the Creed brothers waiting in the wings. And when you think Sami Zayn's going to win because Otis isn't going to interfere, or maybe even Otis interferes and hurts Chad Gable, maybe they get that pop. And then the Creed brothers come out. It'd be kind of cool to see like a schmoz finish a little bit, where it's like chaos and you think Sami Zayn's going to win because it backfired and Otis turned on Gable. But then the Creed brothers come out, turn on Sami Zayn, and help Chad Gable win the title anyway. That would be a really interesting ending. We have Bayley versus Piper Niven. Another great opportunity for Piper Niven in front of her home crowd. However, Bayley is beloved in the UK. You're going to hear the chant. So it's going to be interesting to see. You're not going to have a situation like with Drew McIntyre where he's a situational babyface in his home country. I think the crowd's still going to be behind Bayley, but I think this match is going to be hot. I think it's going to be a back and forth. Piper Niven is very talented. I think that they've done a good job keeping her on television with Chelsea Green. I do think that maybe one of the things I've been listening to, the people that I follow, which I agree it would make sense booking wise, is you have Bayley retain and then Chelsea Green take out her frustrations on Piper Niven for not winning the title for them, and then Piper Niven turns babyface against Chelsea Green. Then she can beat Chelsea Green to start to build a babyface run, which then sets her up to have Nia Jax as an opponent because Nia Jax is a heel. And then you have a couple heels that you can have Piper Niven challenge and go up against on SmackDown. So that would be interesting. Let's see where we got next. I do have to take a moment because I'm not going to recap both Raws and both SmackDowns. I'm just kind of talking about Clash at the Castle for right now. But I saw the wrestling, the dirt sheets, as it were. Now I haven't watched SmackDown, but I can almost guarantee that Logan Paul and LA Knight is not going to be a match at Clash at the Castle. It seems like these B pay-per-views have like five matches on them. I've already talked about three, right? And I haven't talked about Drew McIntyre and Damian Priest and Cody Rhodes and AJ Styles. I think there's going to be five matches. I think those are going to be the five matches. Dave Meltzer said the plan, according to his sources, was that Logan Paul and LA Knight would happen at Clash at the Castle. I was like, are you kidding me? Like, I think I said it in the last podcast. Why would you waste this match on almost no build when this has been a match that's been in back of people's minds since their interactions back before Money in the Bank last year? This is a money match between Logan Paul being the upstart who kind of just took to wrestling like a fish to water, and then LA Knight, who has 20 years in the industry and he's finally getting the credit and the respect and the accolades that he has worked over time to build for himself in various companies around the world. You know, LA Knight is everywhere, acting, appearing in cameos of Brooklyn Nine-Nine, et cetera, et cetera. This is a great story, one that should be, like a lot of people were saying that it was the match that was going to be at WrestleMania, right? And everybody was disappointed when they pivoted to AJ Styles. But I think it's because they want SummerSlam to be WrestleMania Part 2. And you save this match for SummerSlam because if the plan was, and it wasn't, obviously, as we found out, but originally, what I would say is originally, before The Rock got involved, I imagine they were setting up Cody Rhodes versus Roman Reigns for WrestleMania. That was the plan, and then The Rock said, I can do this year's WrestleMania, and then I think the plan became The Rock. But all that to say, you wouldn't have a huge, huge, if the plan was for Cody Rhodes, you know, stick with me, to win the title, which he ultimately did, you know, after The Rock and the Pivot and all that stuff that we're all aware of. If originally, I'm talking back in like the fall of last year, the plan was to get to Rhodes Reigns Part 2, then you would want to maybe have another big match at SummerSlam if Cody was to take the title off of Roman Reigns. And I think Logan Paul in Cleveland against LA Knight is a great match. It's a WrestleMania-type match. Why would you do that at Clash at the Castle? Like, no offense to Drew McIntyre, Damian Priest, that's not a WrestleMania match. Maybe it will be eventually, but I don't think that Damian Priest, it's kind of funny to say, I don't think that Damian Priest has built himself to the level of popularity and being over as LA Knight. I mean, you saw it Money in the Bank, right? Like, everyone wanted LA Knight to win, and then the air was sucked out of the room when Damian Priest won. That's all you need to know. So the fact that Dave Meltzer, who's been writing about wrestling for, like, what, 40 years, and I've only been following it closely for the last three, and I could say, without a doubt, there is no way that in a two-week build, they're going to put Logan Paul and LA Knight at SummerSlam. I'm sorry, at Clash at the Castle. Unless the plan was to do a trilogy of matches where you have Logan Paul win by nefarious means, then Money in the Bank, he wins again, and then Logan, then there's a, you know, a cage match or something at SummerSlam where LA Knight finally wins. But I don't see that being the plan. So I find it interesting that, like, there's a lot of people that are like, oh, Dave Meltzer doesn't know what he's talking about. But the fact that you can say, like, yeah, this is the plan, like, it just is so silly. And maybe I'll eat crow, and all of a sudden, spontaneously, there'll be a match tomorrow at Clash at the Castle with LA Knight and Logan Paul, but I seriously doubt it. Anyway, I'll move on to the final two matches. Damian Priest versus Drew McIntyre. This match, there's so much back and forth. At first, as soon as they announced Clash at the Castle in Scotland, everybody's like, oh, Drew's winning the title, right? But now, the story has changed so much that you're like, oh no, they're going to swerve us, right? Now it's become, this is what I love about speculating wildly, as Sam Roberts says, is that we talk things into our heads to the point where we're like, well, this is a foregone conclusion. And then when the booking either goes the way we thought it would because we figured it out, we're like, oh, it was so predictable. But then when they don't give us what we talked about and wanted to happen, we're like, they don't know what they're doing. They're pivoting. And I'm like, that's not how it works, right? They have a plan. They know. They do pivot. But it's really interesting to see this match because you have the fact that initially when it was announced, everybody's like, oh, okay, Damian Priest is just going to be a transitional champion. And Drew's going to win in his home country. But then they started to talk about the fact that Damian Priest was a transitional champion. Like, Drew McIntyre started to poke that. And they had the reference of Damian Priest saying to Jey Uso, like, you're the first guy in a line of people they're going to feed to me to make this look good on me. So they started to acknowledge, I guess, the chatter. And that made me go, uh-oh, they're going to keep the title on Priest. Because they want to build this guy for some reason. Listen, I think he's been great in the Judgment Day. I just don't see it with Damian Priest the way other people see it. There's nothing wrong with him. Like, he's a great, he's got a cool look. He's got a cool voice. He can wrestle. He's been doing it for a long time, so I give him lots of credit for that. He changed his entire lifestyle. If you've ever watched, I think it's the 24 on Damian Priest, maybe, where he was like really heavy and like unhealthy, and he got himself cleaned up and just ripped. And he just looks great as a wrestler. And he's a tall guy. But I just don't think he has the connection with the audience the way they think he does or they want him to. And I feel like if they have him go on a long title run, the fans are going to turn on him. And if their goal is to make him babyface, what better way to make him go babyface than for him to lose the title either because of Judgment Day interference or because of CM Punk's interference? Because I think that Drew McIntyre is going to end up looking really good in this CM Punk feud. That's my personal opinion. Because CM Punk, if he's somehow involved in this, I think it's going to be, or at least my hope is it's going to backfire on him. Because to have Drew McIntyre make the same mistake again, I think it buries the character. It's the same idea with Cody Rhodes. If he would have lost to Roman Reigns the second time. Like, everyone was saying he was going to. All the Roman lovers that hated him until, you know, 2 years ago were like, oh, Cody's going to lose again. They're not going to take the title off Roman. They were so sure of it. They were so adamant. And everyone on the Cody side was like, if he loses this match, he's buried forever. There's no coming back from this because of how the story's been told. And we were proven right. The same goes with Drew McIntyre. I feel like the story they're telling about him, eventually, if he keeps losing because of CM Punk, he's going to look like an idiot. Because he's got to, you know, it's fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. I think Drew McIntyre comes out of this with the title. But to protect Damian Priest, it's going to be CM Punk interfering or the Judgment Day interfering in a way that hurts him. Now, they did have the qualifying match where Drew McIntyre, that, you know, in the previous SmackDown, I guess. No, I'm sorry, Raw. On Raw, Drew McIntyre beats Finn Balor, so it bars Judgment Day from ringside. You know who's not in Judgment Day? Carlito. You know who's not in Judgment Day? Liv Morgan. So, that doesn't mean that people can't interfere on behalf of the Judgment Day, because they're not officially members. So, we'll see if there's a gray area there. Who also is not in Judgment Day? CM Punk. But what I would love to see is CM Punk try to interfere, and it backfires, and then Drew goes out as the champion, and he goes out through the crowd with the belt. I think that would be a great image. It would make CM Punk angry, because right now I feel like the anger is one-sided. Like, I mean, there's justification for Drew McIntyre to be angry because CM Punk cost him the title. There was justification for CM Punk to be angry because CM Punk was injured by Drew McIntyre and he was gloating in his face at WrestleMania. So his outburst made sense. Now, because the last person who was wronged in the story, quote unquote, is Drew McIntyre, to keep it going, you need CM Punk to be the one who eats it here, I think. That's just my personal opinion. So I would love to see Drew McIntyre come away with the title. I think he's earned it. I think he's a... he is a wrestler's wrestler. He's probably one of the best physical wrestlers on the roster for his size. Like, you look at the size of him and how athletic he is and how good he is at telling stories in his matches. And he's incredibly, my computer's telling me that my battery's low. Sorry about that. He's incredibly good on the microphone and he's incredibly good on his social media, which is part of the business now. So I think it's his time. I really think he deserves to win. I think he deserves to win, and he deserves to hold that belt for a little while. Have CM Punk chase. Everybody keeps saying, oh, it's going to be CM Punk and Drew McIntyre at WrestleMania. We don't know that. I'm not WrestleMania, SummerSlam. SummerSlam is like 6 weeks away now. We don't know if he's going to be ready for SummerSlam. Have you noticed he hasn't really been on TV in a couple weeks? He's been on NXT, but he hasn't been... So, yeah, I don't see that as being a SummerSlam match, if I'm being honest. I think they might wait. And if you saw his podcast with Ariel Helwani, he said it's not necessarily going to be when he's cleared that he's going to come back. It's going to be when it makes sense in the story. And I think that's true. Because what are you going to do, that match of Bash at Berlin? Like, no offense to that, but it's the same idea what I had with the Logan Paul LA Knight match. You're not going to do a match like that on a B pay-per-view. That's a WrestleMania match. If SummerSlam can't happen, then you got to save it for Survivor Series. It's got to be one of the big four. This match is going to have more heat than I think the Seth Rollins CM Punk match would have had because of the build and because of how they've worked the personal stuff into the story. Also, I think it's benefited from the fact that Drew McIntyre is a heel. If it was Seth Rollins and CM Punk, you had everyone super excited for CM Punk coming back, right? And then Seth Rollins at the time was a babyface. So I don't think you would have gotten the heat that you're going to get with Drew McIntyre and CM Punk with Seth Rollins and CM Punk. Maybe I'm wrong. But I do think if you do Survivor Series... Ultimately, and you can have CM, that gives Drew McIntyre like a 5 month title run, which is good. That's a nice title run. CM Punk could beat Drew McIntyre, and then you could set up somehow Seth Rollins versus CM Punk for WrestleMania 41, which I would love to see that match. You got the well-known Chicago Bears fan, Seth Rollins, versus Chicago made Punk, right? I still think that's a match we need to see. But then you also have the possibility of a CM Punk Cody Rhodes match down the line and a CM Punk Roman Reigns match down the line. The storytelling that we have at our disposal. That's why I get frustrated when people are like, it's the ball. It's boring. Day after WrestleMania is boring. It's the lull. I'm like, do you understand how many matches are still on the horizon that we haven't even touched? We haven't even scratched the surface. Do you also understand that we had the top people, three of the four top people for WrestleMania went away? So there's going to be some adjusting. There's got to be some grace in the idea. Like, you had three of the four main event people went away after WrestleMania, and Cody Rhodes is the only one left. Everybody's like, oh, it's been a drop. Oh, it's like, what? Like, come on. Roman Reigns didn't get over until he had Paul Heyman and the Usos next to him. It's the truth. Cody Rhodes is by himself, and he's over. He is so over. Every time he walks into a building, I don't know how you can deny it. The merch sales, I don't know how you can deny it. I don't know if everybody that went to see WWE wanted a Roman Reigns t-shirt, but I can tell you that most of the people that now go to the events want a Cody Rhodes t-shirt. It's just the package, man. And I mean, and that'll segue us into, which I don't think it will be the main event. I think the Drew match will be the main event. There'll be a double main event. That's what they always say. Cody Rhodes versus AJ Styles. Now, I was listening to somebody saying it could be interesting to see if they do a quick title change here. I think if Drew wins, Cody retains. Because I already said we got Chad winning the title. That was my prediction. And we got Drew winning the title. Bayley retaining. Jade and Bianca retaining. So that means Cody Rhodes has to retain. If the law of averages. But if we were to fantasy book, would it make sense for Cody Rhodes in an I Quit match? And, you know, oftentimes when baby faces are in I Quit matches, and the only way they quit is if they're protecting somebody else. If you recall Judgment Day versus Edge, he quit because they had Beth Phoenix ready for a concerto. So he quit, and then they gave her the concerto anyway. That is how they typically book a babyface to lose in an I Quit match. What was the one? The famous one is Stone Cold Steve Austin. They did the double turn. He passed out. He didn't actually quit. He didn't actually submit, I mean. So there is a world where they could say, you know what would be really crazy? Everyone loves Cody in chase mode. That's undisputable. Indisputable. I don't know which one it is. Everybody's been saying it would be nice to see AJ Styles get one last run, right? Maybe AJ Styles says, I am actually ready to hang it up, but let's really go for it. Maybe he's like, I don't want to get to 50. Maybe I want one more shot at the top. Well, what better way to do that than through just dastardly means? Cody Rhodes loses the title because he has to say I quit to protect his mother or his wife. Or I don't know, Arn Anderson or something. I know there hasn't been any storyline there, but there's rumors about him coming back. I think it'd be really interesting. I would say it's an 80-20 that Cody retains. But if you were going to do a trilogy, because if the reports were true, now Dirt Sheet writers, as we already talked about, get stuff wrong all the time. But if the reports were true that there weren't any concrete plans for Cody after he won the title, and you're trying to really make this go here, doing a trilogy of matches with AJ Styles and Cody Rhodes is not the worst thing you can do. You still have Money in the Bank in front of you, and then you have SummerSlam. So unless the plan is to then move Cody Rhodes onto something else for SummerSlam, maybe Solo Sikoa, maybe Randy Orton, who knows? Maybe they're going to do a triple threat match with Randy Orton, Gunther, and whoever the World Heavyweight Champion is at SummerSlam. I could see it being Drew. I don't know. There's a lot of options, but if you could get another match out of AJ Styles here and then have him do a quick title change. Someone gave the example of the Flair Steamboat trilogy, where there were title changes in the trilogy. Why wouldn't you do that? No one would be expecting it. Absolutely no one. It would be shocking. You could protect Cody Rhodes in such a way that he has no choice. So it's not like he actually lost the title. It's not like he laid down for 3 seconds. Someone, he was protecting someone. He was being noble. That would be really interesting. I don't think that's what's going to happen. But I would be pleasantly surprised, because it would make everyone talk. Everyone would be talking about this. They'd be like, I cannot believe they just did that. And it would make people come back to find out what's going to happen. And then maybe you set up a Money in the Bank rematch. And then Cody wins, AJ moves on, and then you set him up for whoever his opponent for SummerSlam is going to be. I don't know. It's possible. Maybe you tease it before Money in the Bank so that the SummerSlam build for the WWE Championship is longer than just 4 weeks. Who knows? But it's all fun to talk about. There's a lot other stuff going on the product, but I'm going to leave it there because I wanted to get this up before Clash at the Castle. If you'd like to follow me or check me out, subscribe to the podcast. You can email me as well, jeffdesiato@yahoo.com. That's the temporary email address for now. Maybe I'll get a branded one eventually. But for now, enjoy Clash at the Castle, and I'll be here next week. Get out there and enjoy all the wrestling.